Hello, lovely, and welcome back to the Fat Joy Podcast. Today's episode is part of a special capsule collection where I'm talking with brilliant fat creatives about how they bring their ideas into the world, the joy, the struggle, and the magic in between. I believe one of the ways we can all rebel against anti-fatness and diet culture is by creating tangible fat-positive offerings, projects, and art, which is why I'm so excited to tell you more about the Fat Joy Creation Lab later on in the episode. So here's to creating better fat futures. Enjoy the episode. Hello, lovelies. Welcome back to this Creation Lab capsule collection for the Fat Joy Podcast. I feel like that's such a tongue twister. Creation Lab capsule collection for the Fat Joy Podcast. I have my friend Amanda with me today, and we've been friends for years. I was trying to remember, Amanda, kind of when we first connected, and we have this beautiful friendship where we kind of like talk every couple of months. We get on a Zoom and we have this beautiful chat. We've never met in person.
Isn't that crazy?
Which we're going to have to remedy. But yeah, and I just feel so happy that I get to talk to you today about your creativity, what you've done with it. Because you're one of these people who has had used in like the best sense of the word, use your creativity to fuel so many different endeavors in your life. And I'm just fascinated by that. So I'm glad we get to talk about that today. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. Okay. So Amanda, tell us who you are in this moment, because it's different at any given time. So who are you right now?
Oh my goodness, I love that question. Thank you. Because it feels like you have to commit to one thing and then a year later you're someone else, and it's right? We're allowed to grow and change and move. But yeah, today so I'm Josephine Amanda. I go by Amanda, my middle name. I'm an artist, a complex trauma doula, a producer of many things. But basically I just help people heal lineage wounds and cultivate self-trust through creative arts and fat liberation and decolonization principles. That's what I really lean on in my work. And so I feel really lucky to do that and to be able to evolve in all kinds of different types of creativity.
Oh, well, and I feel like that's the kind of work that you can get super creative with and try something new with. It's very not in a box type work.
Mm-hmm. I've never fit in a box. That's one thing.
I love it. Okay, let's start there. I have never fit in a box. Say more about that. Like, when did you know you were not a box person?
Oof. Wow, what a question. I mean, it might be a bit of a cop-out, but kind of forever, right? Like, I'm someone who lives at the intersection of a lot of different worlds. So I'm mixed race. I'm Puerto Rican, a quarter Black, a quarter Italian. I come from a family of the whole color of the rainbow. I come from a family that grew up with six generations of women in one home. I was going to school, having one life, coming home, having another life, going to my bedroom, having another life, like just kind of living between all kinds of different worlds. And so forever, I've never felt like I fit in one place, right? Yeah. At school, I certainly recognize how I present, but I was not white at school, but I was in a white space. At home, I was in a culturally Puerto Rican household, but I wasn't Puerto Rican enough, right? Mm. And then I never felt like I could just get the thing. I was always seeking, searching, like, am I going to be good enough in this place? Am I going to get the A here? And am I going to be, you know, then I was also in a bigger body. So from that age of maybe like third grade is when I started to really feel like I was different in that way. Yeah. And so it just felt like I never fit. And that felt hard for a long time. And then as I got older, I still felt like the world tries to put you in a certain lane. And it never worked for me. I'm a Gemini. You know, I've got two things happening at once at all times. And so what I really love about myself today is that, you know, I've already lived a lot of different lives, right? Like I had over a decade as a filmmaker. I worked in wellness. Now I'm an educator. I also have my business. I paint, I draw. I just do all these things. And so for me, it's been a long process, but now a liberating one to know that I can do what I want. I don't have to say I'm just this one thing. And I appreciate your question at the beginning, because it feels like in the capitalism that we live in, we have to have this thing we've been building forever. I am this one thing and I don't get to evolve or change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's why you and I hit it off right away, because I too am Gemini and have a million things going on, and had to choose to privilege parts of myself and distance myself from other things in order to give myself the freedom to follow the different paths that I wanted to take, you know? And, you know, I've just, you know, on our calls, I've talked a lot about like in my case, I had to really go no contact with a lot of my family because I couldn't live as out of the box as I wanted to and still be in close ties with certain members of my family. And like, that was a hardship, but also my own sense of freedom and joy and being able to follow my creative path was like, that's what I have to do. It's my life, right? And I know you've had your own versions of, you know, of your own story, you know, connected to that. And so I think, yeah, I just, this is kind of at the core of why I wanted to talk to you, because I feel like even when you were naming all those things that you've done, I was like, yep, creativity, 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 creativity. Where do you think creativity lives in the thread that you have followed with your life?
Love your questions always, Sophia.
Thank you.
That's such a good question. You know, I've come to really see creativity as a spiritual process.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to accept that that's what it is. It's a divine process. There's something that is both within me and outside of me that is like creating whatever it is that I'm creating. And similar to what you just said, I had to allow myself to follow the call, no matter what had to fall to the wayside in order to follow that call, which for me also was estrangement, as you alluded to. And like, I could not be my full creative self. I couldn't be authentic while I was connected to whomever that might, or whatever systems or whatever people that were trying to put me in whatever kind of a box made them feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
And so for me today, creativity is just connected to everything that I do in this way that is really beautiful. You know, with my, I teach life skills at the moment, and we always do values at the beginning of every class. And mine is creativity. And I really, every time I make a decision, I think, okay, how can I add creativity to this? Am I getting too closed and not looking at something that I can see if I just think creatively or bring art even into it, even if it doesn't make sense, right? And so today I feel like creativity just lives in the way I move, the way I relate to people. I feel like it's very creative. The way I relate to myself has become more creative. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it's everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you're reminding me, I mentioned to you, I spoke with Mary Lambert, and she says something very similar. At this point in her life, creativity is just like an essential part of her being. So it's never like it turns on and turns off. And that's very much what I'm hearing you say. It's just now threaded into everything that you do. Do you remember a time when that wasn't true? Like, is this a part of you that, I mean, it may have always been there, but was there like a recognition or an opening to it? Or like, how did, if you think back, how did it evolve?
You know, I remember when I was in sixth grade, I took a studio art class, and it was like the advanced art class, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And I actually really, I haven't thought about this in a while, but I remember that class was like a pivotal moment for me where I was like, oh, I actually am kind of good at creating things, whatever good means, right? Like, I don't believe in that anymore. But at the time I was like, oh, wow, like, look at me. And I got so much positive recognition from that teacher. And it was also one of the ways that I got positive recognition from my family, which is a complex system. Mm-hmm. And so I remember at that moment, like probably around sixth grade, being like, oh, wait, I want to touch this, whatever this is, more, right? Like, I did a lot of different art, and I still do. So I, you know, I remember we painted, we did like mixed media between artists, where we created this piece that was, I created this piece that was a mix of Chuck Close and Henri Matisse. And like, I just remember being like, understanding that you could be creative on top of creativity.
Yeah.
And that hadn't been opened for me in a real way before that. And maybe it had, but it hadn't been poured into the way that I remember that teacher poured into it. I wish I could remember her name. I can remember her face perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
And she just allowed us, right? Like, I've had other teachers who, other art teachers who have like tried to put the creative process in a box.
Yes.
And she really, I remember, allowed us to be, to create. She gave us assignments, but they became ours. And that was really meaningful.
Oh, I love that. I love that kind of like, I guess we could say like traditional art approaches where you're kind of way in. When you said that, you reminded me of a memory. I think that was my way in too. Because I remember I got this flashback to, gosh, I was probably like, I don't know, 10 or 11. And I remember having this like sketchbook. I must have bought it at the craft store. I loved going to craft stores. I never considered myself creative though. I was always like math and science girl. But there was a part of me that like kind of in the corners of my bedroom, you know, I would like create what I would say be maybe more kind of like art-based creative. And I had this sketchbook and I remember my mom had these statues and I was like drawing them and I got some positive feedback about it. Again, I totally forgot. It's a very similar story where it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, okay, this is something I can do and I'm kind of good at. And it was such an opening moment. And then I think from there, in terms of like the way the next question I'm going to ask you, I'm teeing it up because I'm so curious about when we use words like creativity, just like when we use any values-based words, I think they have very individual meanings. So for me, for so long, creativity meant I had to be good at drawing or painting or some kind of art thing. And I now feel very differently about what creativity means to me. So I'm curious from your perspective, like when we say creativity is one of your, if not the core value, like what is your version of creativity?
I love that because it really has evolved.
Yeah,
just like you're saying. And it felt like creativity had to be, for so long, it had to be connected to some kind of specific art practice, right? Like,
yeah.
If I was not drawing, painting, sewing, then it wasn't creative. And now, like, I realized mainly through relationships, I really see my creativity come through relationships. And that's not to say that I don't paint and do all those things, which I'm really grateful that I do, but I don't have that attachment to it being for an outcome. I'm not trying to get like quote unquote good at it. I'm just doing it to honor that creativity.
Yeah.
But the real part of my life where I feel like the definition expanded was in my relationships, where now I see myself as someone who relates through a creative lens to people and like invites creativity, invites that divine expansion into my relationships in a way that an old version of me would have never allowed myself to define as creative.
Yes.
But it's so clearly creative. I just see it so clearly now. That's like where my creative sweet spot really is.
Oh, I love it. Creativity, that connection between creativity through relationship. Can you give us an example? Because I'm imagining there's a lot of people listening who'd be like, that sounds cool, but what does that mean? What does that look like?
That makes sense. What does it look like? That's a good question. You know, I think if I do it through the lens of, as I teach life skills. And some days that looks like talking about credit scores, right?
Yeah. And highly creative.
Yeah. But like, how do you make that something that you're relating creatively through? Like, I never show up and I'm like, we're learning about credit scores today. Mm-hmm. I talk to them and I'm like, where are we at today? Like, how are we feeling? Mm-hmm. And I pick up on what people are giving in the room. It means like figuring out where people are in time and space and letting that unfold whatever conversation we're going to have. Like letting the relationship be creative in that way, as opposed to me as your teacher, as an educator coming in and say, this is what we're going to do, whether you like it or not.
That's
just not my goal as a teacher, as an educator. That's not how I want to move. Yeah. And so it becomes this way where I get to listen deeply. I think that's a creative skill. To really listen, I listen for people's vulnerabilities and I listen for like, that's a lot of times where a sweet spot is where people are like lacking creativity and how they can see that and allow us to bring some light there, and how we can like bring a new perspective to what they're talking about, how we can work with what emerges. Yeah. And I think like that to me feels like relational creativity, like showing up to a space and allowing what comes up, no matter what comes up. Because one day I'll show up and I'll think we're going to, you know, cut some snowflakes, and then I'll be talking to a 20-year-old about their deepest trauma suddenly. So it's like, you know, how do you move through that? For me, I move through that through creativity. I move through that by being flexible and saying, well, here we are today. I'm going to meet you here.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. In my coach training that I did a million years ago, one of the principles that we talked a lot about, and that I think it took me a couple years of coaching to really understand, is exactly what you're saying. And they would call it dancing in the moment. So you kind of like take what shows up, and there's an agility, a flexibility, a curiosity, a deep presence, a listening, like all these qualities that we can almost like turn up the dials on within ourselves and like be with what is in the room. And that process, I think, is highly creative. I think all those, like the ingredient, if we were to like define the ingredients of creativity, it's like all of those things kind of are bubbling together to be in that moment. And because I feel creative in lots of different ways, but I think where I feel the most creatively alive is in two scenarios. One, when I'm coaching and I'm just like, and you're just like in it. Like it is that kind of like dance with their energy, with your energy, with what's being explored. And the other is when I'm like deep in like solo creative practice these days, which is showing up as writing. Oh. And like, I had this really cool experience. I took myself away for a little solo weekend 2 weekends ago. So I could do some writing for Creation Lab. I was writing like emails and like stories that I wanted to share. And I went to a great little cafe called the Dog-Eared Cafe, which is like the best name and the best cafe. And I literally like sat down, and then when I looked up, it was 4 hours later. Like it just, and so I feel like there's this real relational creativity, and then this deep kind of inner like fire creativity that shows up. And for me, those are like my two ways, I think, that when I feel most creative is in those two scenarios. But I hadn't, you just helped me see, oh, that relational dance in the moment, that's also deeply creative. And I don't know if I would have called it that before this conversation. So thank you for that.
I feel like all the conversations that you have, right? Like in this podcast, you are creating you are both having this conversation where you're allowing something to be co-created in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, even if you can't put actual texture to what that is.
Yeah.
These kinds of, especially the conversations you're having that are really disruptive and uplifting people that whose stories are not as uplifted as they should be. Like, there's something tangible about the creativity there that's hard to put words on. So,
right.
I'm glad you're seeing how creative you are in that way.
Thank you. I just feel like I got a good coaching session. Thank you. Well, and I think too, is I like that it challenges the way we kind of typically, I mean, you know, I love anything that challenges the way we typically think about anything.
We're Geminis, hello.
We are Geminis, yeah. let's bring in like the capitalistness too here. So, because both of us have used our creativity to like clothe our bodies and feed our bodies and live. So how have you found the pairing of those two things? The tension that may exist there. Also, I think the joy too of using creativity to, you know, sustain ourselves in this very secular capitalist world. So how have you interacted with that piece of earning a living using your creativity?
It's complex stuff, right? Because I'd rather not.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I started off as a filmmaker. And so when I think about that time in my life, it started off as this highly creative process. And then it became a place that I had to make money. And so it kind of, I tried very hard to hold on to the creativity within it, but I didn't have the language or the boundaries or the understanding in my 20s to do that. And so it quickly, because of survival, because of all the reasons, became a thing where I had to make money. The money was the priority. And then making money through film and TV, at least the corners of it that I were in, I would argue everywhere, so that's not my business anymore. You know, I had to do that through working with these brands, through working with these people that are paying you to take their message and make it creative so it can sell more things to people. Yeah. And that took a toll, right? There's a reason why I don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was this part of it. It was both ends, right? There was this part of it where I was producing all the time. And even if I didn't love what I was producing, I had that creative, like, closure all the time of, like, I did this. I created that. Yeah. I did this. I created that. That was a beautiful part of it. And I'm someone who's going to make the best of where I am. So I brought my creativity into what I could do. But I realized along the way that because that was how I was making money, even if I was creative, I didn't feel creative. It just felt like it became like, like machine, like it was machine creating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It just
mechanical
didn't work.
Creation.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's how I got burnt out. And like, it lost its creativity for me, and for at least the way the part of the film I was in, I felt like I could not heal that creative muscle staying in that space.
Yeah.
And so then the work became, okay, how do I find creativity in again in a way that feels authentic, in a way that works within capitalism? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm there. It's a complex thing, but that's the goal now, that's the intention. And so I move with that intention. And, you know, I purposefully do not seek out work where my livelihood is dependent on my creativity. Yeah. I bring my creativity wherever I go. That's how I address it now. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's an ever evolving thing. Tomorrow I may say something different because capitalism, colonialism, these cultural isms, they take from us.
Yeah. Oh, it's so interesting. You know this, but and probably most people know this because I've talked about it before, but my husband's an artist. He's an illustrator. And so we talk about this challenge all the time of like, you know, if one of us won the lottery, like would we still work? And I'm like, absolutely, probably part-time. He's like, no, I wouldn't do he wouldn't do his art for money anymore. He would just do it for himself because he really feels like it just puts, it's this kind of mechanization of creativity that doesn't feel as true anymore. So go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to add, like, and I truly do believe that creativity is a divine process, like I said earlier. Yeah. And so that and money does not mix.
Right.
Certainly not in the capitalist society that we're in today, right? Like, it just doesn't mix. So it makes perfect sense to me that he would be like, no, I could take money out of it, let's take money out of it. Like, then I get to actually have this kind of pure experience of creating.
Yeah, he would just draw monsters all day long and be so happy.
I want that for him.
Right, me too. Our grocery list has little scribbles of monsters on it, like as he's like doodling. Yeah, I know. It's adorable. And that's so interesting to me because my creativity, he's obviously a professional artist. My creativity feels much more on the relational side, definitely less on the artistic side, other than perhaps writing. And so I wonder if there's a difference there where for me, I guess it's interesting now that we're talking about this, I'm thinking about this for the first time where it's like there's this alignment for me between I get to bring my creativity to my coaching. It's kind of like what you were saying. I get to bring my creativity to the work that I do and I get paid for it. And so it's like my creativity doesn't get like sucked dry.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Right? Whereas if it's the other way around, like for him, he earns his living by like creativity first. It is easy to get exhausted and you can only work so much. And then your creativity, I don't know, it's kind of a funny thing. It's like, it can get depleted.
And you can't really take a break, right? Like,
no,
you can't take
thing.
A break from being creative. We're like, if I want to take a break from being creative for a week, I can.
Yeah.
I can just show up and say, we're going to learn about credit today. Let's do it.
You know? Right, here's the PowerPoint.
Here's the PowerPoint. Like,
that's so
or,
true.
You know, I don't have it in me. Write in your journal. You know, like, I don't have to push through.
Yeah.
and use that that divine talent to make money.
At Firefly, at the writing studio that I work for, we have this really beautiful resource that we talk to writers about, which is like the life cycle of creative projects. And the parts that everyone is like, "Oh, I can't do that," is the hibernation, is the like the go taking a break, allowing your creativity to replenish. It needs that. It needs, is it fallow? Is that the right word? Fallow time. It needs to like winter. It's got to go through the
winter. Yes.
Right. And before we can like spark it up again into like the full chaos that it can be. And so I think that's why if we're earning our money solely on creativity, there, like you said, there's no break when you were producing. There's no space and time for the creativity to replenish, to build and grow. There's no hibernation allowed in extractive capitalism. There's no seasonality to capitalism. I'm so captivated by this idea of creativity as divine. Can you tell us more? What does that mean to you?
So to me, it means that everything I do gets to feel like something bigger than myself.
Ooh.
And so whether that's teaching, whether that's having an event with my company, whether that's having coffee with an old friend or doing my own doodles, which I'm sure are not nearly as good as your husband's. But it feels like bringing like the divine to creativity helps me just bring the divine everywhere in my life. And I don't mean that in terms of like religiousness or anything like that. I just mean like there is in my belief something larger that is when you're in some kind of zone, when you're in a moment, when you have that alignment, that something that could have never been connected here is somehow connected, like whatever that is to whatever you call that, I try to bring that into as many corners of my life as possible.
Yeah.
And so if I bring creativity into all of those corners of my life, then I'm bringing that feeling, that magic, that connection. Mm-hmm. And it creates this connection to myself, this connection to my body, this connection to my essence. Mm-hmm. It brings it all to the rooms I walk into. And it helps stay grounded and helps me realize that like everything is a ritual and everything can feel everything can feel special and spiritual. Everything can give you that feeling. And that's what I'm seeking. I'm just seeking to feel in connection to something that helps me stay grounded, that helps me stay close to myself in everything.
Hey, Sophia here, interrupting myself so that I can pop in with a little invitation. I've had so many coaching clients tell me about ideas they want to bring into the world, but they don't because they're nervous or they're not sure what the next steps are, or imposter syndrome and self-doubt show up and stop them. So if you've had a fat positive idea tugging at your sleeve, maybe a podcast, a workshop, a piece of art, a community project, a zine, and you keep thinking, "Ooh, maybe I could, maybe I should," then I think Fat Joy Creation Lab might be for you. It's a 6-month creative incubator where you're going to build your project alongside a small group of big-hearted, justice-oriented change makers just like you. You'll get coaching, community, accountability, and a wildly supportive space to turn that tiny spark into something real. We start this March, and I would love to create with you. So please come take a peek at fatjoy.life/creationlab, and let's bring your vision to life together. Okay, back to me and my guests now. Enjoy. Oh my God, Amanda, I love this so much. Everything is a ritual. Like, I'm like, wow, I go away once a quarter to get that. But I could have it in every moment. Everything is a ritual. Like, that's such a shift for us as like a human species.
Yeah. And it's maybe hard for me too.
Yeah.
Like it's a choice. It's like one of these things how we have to decide to unlearn
everything. Right.
Similarly, it's a choice to say, okay, I'm going to bring this here. I'm going to ritualize my life, and I'm going to see even the smallest step as a connection to some divine presence, even if that presence is just my creativity. Yeah. As I make my tea, it's going to be creative. Mm-hmm. As I write my to-do list, how can I make it a little more creative? How can I make it something that feels exciting? Like, what can I name? Yeah. Like I name things like silly fun things. I'm like, oh, this is like, this week, this is my expansion list. It's like, okay.
Yes. Oh my God, I love that. So it's not a to-do list, it's an expansion list.
Sometimes it's a to-do list, right? But on the days I'm feeling extra creative, I just try to bring that fun and that whimsy into my life as much as possible, because life is hard.
Yeah.
Like a to-do list is not fun. But you can make it something that has ritual to it and then expand from there.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. The intentionality around that feels so important. Like I am intentionally choosing that this, even just, I love the idea of like making tea as a ritual instead of just, oh, I'm just going to like fill the thing, click the button and walk away and get on my phone and doom scroll until the tea is ready. I could actually just sit and like think about or ritualize the tea in some way. So I'm just imagining, okay, well, I could like smell the mint as it's like, you know, getting stronger as it's steeping, or I could feel the warmth and even think about like, I don't know, memories of sitting around fires, or I don't know, like it feels like there could be some kind of intentionality. And I'm just realizing, like, wow, there's probably lots of opportunities where I could be doing that. And I think the phone gets in my way, Amanda.
The phone gets in all of our ways. We are addicted. But I've really worked hard. And I'm someone who is on my phone late at night, so I am not perfect at this. But I am someone who makes it a part of my daily ritual to put my phone down as much as possible.
Yeah.
So like, for example, when I do make tea or I make cacao in the morning, I purposefully have my phone away. Just as far away as I can. So even if I'll feel myself want it, but I'll feel myself make the choice to be like, at least give yourself this 5 minutes.
Yeah.
At least give yourself the gift of that. That's how I position it to myself and to my students. Like, make it a gift. Make it a gift to yourself. Like, I'm going to give myself this 5 minutes of presence. I am going to sit with this tea. I'm going to watch this water boil. I'm going to do my physical therapy exercises. Yeah. That's what I usually do when I'm watching the tea. I, like, take care of my ankles. And I'm going to focus on myself just for these 5 minutes. And then my phone will still be there.
Yes. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love that so much. I'm feeling really inspired by that. And all of that is connected to creativity because of the intentionality, the focus, the creativity in creating the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, so good. How are you? Again, I'm really curious about this intersection between how we earn money and our creativity. You've started a new well, I guess it's not super new at this point, but Sacred Witness. Can you tell us about that and what you're doing? Because it's so cool.
Yes, I can. Thanks for asking. So I started this, I don't love the word business, but it is a business. I'm still finding the texture of it.
Yeah.
But I started a healing experience for people. So it's called Sacred Witness Sanctuary. Sacred Witness with 3 S's for short. And basically what it is, it's a space where I'm allowing my relational creativity to create experiences for people to heal, for people to connect, for people to exist at the intersection of decolonization, fat liberation, although sometimes I call it body liberation for people that can't get there quite yet. But fat liberation and decolonization, fat liberation and creative arts, right? Those are the 3 things that I bring into every experience. And so I do that because that's what helped me heal, right? And so I was navigating healing complex trauma, and when I was really in the acute phase of that, creativity feels completely inaccessible. Like you can't expand when you're so contracted and when you're just trying to breathe and like get out of kind of the reckoning that comes with understanding your trauma, no matter what the texture of your trauma is, if you choose to address it, there's some kind of reckoning in your life.
Yeah.
And so for me, I didn't have these spaces. And that's not to say they didn't exist. Some of them existed. But even when I found these spaces that were decolonizing healing, that were decolonizing wellness, there was still so much fat phobia, like obscene amounts. Yeah. And it just felt for so long that I didn't have a space to go to feel safe in my body, to feel safe in my creativity, in my mind, to feel safe to even just speak about what was happening for me, because I either felt like it was relating to my body and it wouldn't have been held safely, or I don't know, whatever the reasons were, I just felt like I couldn't show up as my full self. And so my goal, my intention with this space, with all of the Sacred Witness events, are to invite people to show up with their whole selves and know that they will be witnessed in whatever comes through. And we've done a couple of different events, and I've let that be something that has been guided by listening to my body and by thinking about what did I need in the past, or what do I need now that I do have capacity to give. And we've done, you know, a divine grief event, which was really beautiful. And we've done, a Mother's Day event. So I basically do kind of the opposite of what the mainstream is doing. I offer you a safe space for the opposite. So we had what I called an Unmother's Day event for folks that were navigating complex grief with their maternal wound, right? And so that space was a highly creative space, even though we weren't painting, let's say, right? Like, we were really choosing to relate to each other to create this portal and be completely authentic in this way that we really don't get to be the we in this situation, meaning like people that have are estranged from their mothers or have this kind of complex wounding get to be seen, especially on a day where the celebrating the mother is so visible. I'm not here to villainize mothers, but there's a whole group of us that like don't have that, right? And so similarly, I have an event coming up on Christmas, which we're on December 25th, rather, but so many people celebrate Christmas that day. And so it's a space for people to come that have complex relationships with that day and to create a new memory.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that? We're going to make art. We're going to do some somatic practices. We're going to share a meal together. And part of what I think healing creatively means is being willing to allow new memories to take the space of old memories, allow that feeling in your body to take the space of the old feeling. Because when we think about the nervous system, like scientifically, cannot seek a feeling it hasn't felt. So my goal is to offer people these feelings to say, okay, I get to feel safe in this space, in a bigger body, in a dark-skinned body, in a queer body, in a disabled body. I get to feel safe and fully seen in this space. Mm. And then I can seek that out in other spaces. I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
And, oh, I have chills. Because, because I know how impactful it was for me when I found those spaces, right? The only reason I can offer is because I found these little corners of the world, including through my friendship with you. I sought you out at that time when I was struggling, right? And so now I try to offer what I didn't have and show people, like, you get to feel this, go seek it for yourself. It doesn't live with me, it lives with you.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, I'm so excited that you're creating these spaces for people. That's definitely been a real part of my work as well, as I go on my own liberatory journey and walk my own path, it keeps becoming more and more clear that, yeah, like, I'm a space holder for this kind of stuff. And I'm noticing everything I'm drawn to create, including the Ladies with Creation Lab, it is a space that does not exist for fat people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a business incubator and a mastermind. And I've been in both of those spaces as a fat person. And there was so much very unconscious anti-fatness, anti-fat bias. Like, I was in a group once. It was a group coach training. And the topic that they wanted to talk about for, I think, like the 6 months of this training that I'd paid thousands of dollars to get certified to be group coach in was going to be diet and wellness. And I was like, as our like topic for 6 months. And I'm just sitting there going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So I had to be the one who like raised her hand, and I had to like be like, that's not an okay topic for these reasons. And no one understood.
It's so much, right? To have to, first of all, to have to gather the courage within yourself to be the person who says the quiet part out loud and have it not be heard. It's like double wounding.
Right.
Black folks experience that everywhere. Like,
Well,
exactly what you're saying. Like, I signed up for all of these specific trauma healing experiences. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm addressing trauma. I'm in my healing era. But I was consistently re-traumatized as a fat person in these spaces. Yeah. Even in the most decolonized spaces, there is this body wound that is so thick.
Yeah.
And there's such this idea that is deeply rooted, oh my goodness, deeply rooted in spiritual spaces, that like not eating makes your body more divine.
Yeah.
Makes your body closer to God. Like, let's do a cleanse to get closer to God, or do a cleanse to get closer to yourself. It's like, or do a cleanse to starve yourself and get a little delusional. Like,
it's so true.
And people that can't see it, they can't see it.
And the other side of that coin is, and I have been asked this multiple times, which is, surely, Sophia, your fatness is because you were sexually assaulted as a child.
Oh my goodness.
There's this assumption that like my body size has something to do with some trauma that I obviously have not healed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all connected to like the body keeps the score bullshit.
I hate that book so much. And I hate it so much. I travel in so many trauma corners.
People
name it all the time. And
they love it.
And every day I have to decide like what version of me is showing up.
I know.
Like, am I gonna die on the hill? Or am I just gonna keep my mouth shut today?
I know. Me too. I'm like, do I say something or do I just realize this is not the place, the time? It's fine. Yeah.
But it's true. Like, I've read all the books. Like, you know, that I'm an intellectualizer. Yeah. So I did it in my head before I did it in my body. And like, you know, the body keeps the score is one of the more horrendous ones. But in all of these books, even some that I really respect and love, you know, you hear the word obesity being used in ways that are awful. You hear like even the most subtle, like, you know, just try to eat this type of way to heal this type of way.
Yeah.
Even when it's not like as deeply nefarious as some of these other things. And it's just like, no matter what, you're giving people, teaching people to eat in a disordered way in order to heal something.
Yeah.
And what are we doing?
Why? You know? Why? Yeah. Why are we taking basically a genetically determined part of ourselves and equating it with morality, with level of healing or trauma? Like, it's like we just want to simplify everything.
Well, they want to put it in a box, right?
Right?
And it's not because.
Yeah.
Which you're fat
because of this.
Yeah. Because this happened to you when you were a kid. And sometimes they've even said, I don't know if it was you or someone else, was having this exact conversation where someone had said, like, I'm shocked that this person asked if I was, trigger warning, sexually assaulted as a kid.
Yeah.
And this, I was like, no. And this person was like, you might not remember because you couldn't be in your body without that happening.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh my God, how is that person still alive? Like, I might have been violent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like it's so, and it hurts everyone, right? It hurts the people that have had that experience. It hurts the people that haven't had that experience.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't get to be a person. Because then if you have had that experience, you don't get to have anything. You're fat because of that. There's no other reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, we don't get to be whole people.
Mm-mm. It's infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you think your body interacts with your creativity?
I love this because I've really worked on opening that channel. I really have.
Me too.
And
yeah,
it's been such a hard channel to open, whether for all the reasons, right? As a complex trauma survivor, as a person in a bigger body, as a mixed race person who presents in a certain type of way, just as someone whose body has been a topic of conversation to a point where I wanted to avoid it. Like, it was a space that I didn't want to take up space in.
Yeah.
And to do all the work that I did to feel safe taking up space in my body, the beautiful thing that unfolded after that was that creativity now comes from that relationship. And so when I am putting together these events, I sit with my body. And so, like I said earlier, ritual is creativity. Like, these events are rituals. And so when I don't know, when the instinct isn't there, I really sit and I like sit and I think about like, okay, if I and my body were showing up to this event, what would I need? What would my body feel? And I sit there, I meditate, I ask her, I talk to my body. Like, my students laugh at me in a sweet way, because I'll do something and my arm will hurt and I'm like, it's okay. We got this. It's okay, body. It's okay, shoulder. Like, I'm so gentle with her.
I love that so much. Yeah.
I'm so gentle with her.
Yeah.
I'm like really cultivating that relationship and healing enough so that I could elect to live in my body as opposed to next to my body has opened up my creativity in ways that like I couldn't have imagined, right? Like, I couldn't be, a lot of times now I paint and draw fat bodies.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do that if I didn't heal my relationship with my body, right? Or even when I relate creatively, like, I'm someone who, I'm not using the word fat liberation in my classes, but I'm teaching from a fat liberation perspective.
Yeah.
And so by being in my body, by loving my body, by showing up completely unapologetically and teaching about teaching my students to think critically about the systems around them, I get to honor my body in that process, and then also invite creativity into how we're all relating to each other's bodies and our own bodies.
Yeah.
And I think that's because of my body. I honor her because once I started listening to her, my whole life was able to expand. And we're taught not to.
Yeah.
Gosh, we're taught not to.
Yes, everything. And it's at such a fever pitch right now in our world.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, like we had a little spike and then it's like really reverted back.
Isn't it so crazy? Worse. Like,
it's how body quickly
positivity had such a moment.
Oh,
I was like, oh, we're going to be fine. Like, oh, we get to love ourselves.
Yeah.
And now, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, there are many things I blame, and Novo Nordisk is.
Well, you know, that's my arch nemesis.
I know.
Novo Nordisk is the reason why I left film and TV. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, they're the reason why I left.
Yeah.
That's the hill that was willing to die on. I was like, oh, I can't.
No.
So, for example, that's what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Companies like that pay people like I used to be to figure out how to use your divinely given creativity to spread their message, which is to change your body, therefore to shrink your creativity, to shrink your connection to yourself, literally, figuratively, spiritually.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can't use my creativity in this way.
No.
Like, certainly not for an organization like them, because I didn't know what they were doing at the time. But then I was like, not for any organization. Like, you're all a part of the same machine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yes, everything sucks. Dumpster fire. What the fuck? And still, here we are, daring. I'm like, I will go down on this ship if I have to. What are some ways? What are some offerings to people listening to even just, bring creativity into their body, create a little ritual? Like, what would you invite people who are listening and like, I want some of that. I want some of Amanda with me. What's a first step? What's a way in, do you think?
I think the first step really is practicing allowing yourself to just be.
Yeah.
Like, not even trying to produce something creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, allowing yourself to just be without trying to change how you show up.
Ooh.
without having to be like, oh, well, I'm at work, but I have to be this way. Like, just let yourself be. You're allowed to be authentic. You're allowed to just exist.
Yeah.
Because it's like so hard to take that next step towards creating when you are still like holding yourself so tight to some type of way you need to be and to someone else's story, right? Like,
right, it's like we're putting ourselves through all these filters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have to be seen a certain way, let me put on that filter and I will act in accordance. Do you know one very practical, I don't remember how I found this idea, maybe it was with my therapist a couple years ago, where we were kind of exploring this idea of like, how can I just be, as someone who's very much a doer and, you know, indoctrinated into being a hyperachiever and really trying to divest from needing accomplishment in order to feel worthiness. This will be my life's work. Every day, my friends literally bought me a book that said, How to Do Nothing, which I refused to read. and so what I ended up crafting was a ritual. I didn't know to call it a ritual at the time, but I would say it's a ritual now, where I would do these things called desire days, where I would literally be like, okay, today I am just going to follow, quote unquote, my desire. Moment to moment. Right. And like when I started this practice, I didn't even know what does my desire mean? How do I know if I have desire? Because mostly I feel dead inside. So like, how do I know? What would that even show? Is that like a tickle in my pinky? Is it like my heart beats faster? If I turn towards the, you know, a book, like, what does it mean? And like, I had to, it was so hard at the beginning. I think I was so disconnected from doing things without an end goal in mind. And it was a very challenging idea. But now, having kind of just literally started like, you know, 10, you know, at 10 minute increments, now it's so neat because it feels like what that had me do was remove all, like, notice the filters, remove them kind of one by one. And it was, you know, a process. It wasn't certainly, you know, three sessions and I was done. I mean, I tried to do it like once a week for at least, you know, half hour or so, and then be like, hey, what does my body want in this moment? And then to be able to be like, okay, I think my body wants to sit in that sunbeam that is on my bed. Okay, let me just go lie in the sunbeam like a cat and see if is my body happy right now? Yeah, but you know what? You also want a pillow. Okay, I'm going to get a pillow. Like, it was literally like these tiny little things. And
it happens in the small moments.
Right? And it was this process. And it really became a ritual. And so now I have desire days. And even like when I was away, I mentioned I was away for a weekend solo a couple weekends ago. There was a Saturday afternoon. I had done a whole bunch of writing and I had the whole Saturday, rest of the Saturday open from like noon onwards. And it was like, all right, desire afternoon. What does my body want? And where I was staying had a hot tub. My whole body was like, hot tub. And I was like, okay, we're going to the hot tub. And then it was like, all right, body, let me know when we're done in the hot tub. And then it was really like some part of myself that included my brain, but was not only my brain. Was working together in like reciprocity with each other to follow what would feel most aligned for me in that moment. And that's such a different way of being.
Completely different. And it's so funny that you say desire days. My coach invited me to have my wander days.
Wander days. So we want to do a wander day.
It's the same thing, but it's like just wandering. Because I was like, I just need to explore.
Yeah.
And she was like, you need to schedule a day to wander.
Yeah.
And you cannot put anything else on your day, no matter what, which is so hard.
So hard.
It's so hard to just have a day where it's like, I'm going to keep it open. I'm not going to have any plan at all. What?
Yeah.
I'm similar to you. There's a lot happening at all times. And I'm like, well, there's so much to do. Like, there's so much I want to create. There's so many layers, but those days, they still happen too rare, but I really protect them. And I allow myself. Like I said, like you just said, I allow myself. And I really see there's such creativity in that process of waking up and saying, okay, body, what do you want? Let my body lead the way. You know, oh, I feel like maybe I want to go on a walk. Oh, maybe I will end up at a museum. Maybe I'll end up at a cafe alone. Maybe I'll end up taking a nap. Maybe I need a nap. I need to recharge, right? But like letting yourself wander and create that open dialogue with your body and make it safe for your body to lead the way instead of you pushing your body to do whatever it has to do. Right. We have to do that. We have to survive.
Yeah, we
but
do.
Like creating that space allows for creativity.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. And I think this is where the doer part of ourselves can really collude with the creative part. It's like my doer self is like, and I've done this actually in January. I've booked, I've got 5 days away Like, so my doer self was like, all right. And I booked it like 6 months ago. It was like, look at the calendar, book that time, pick a space. It's quite, I like going rural places. And then I do wander. I kind of like take these long, you know, driving explorations of wherever I am. And so I feel like, okay, that's how I can bring that need I have to be a doer. I can put that to work for my creative presencing, for my more desire days. And I'm trying to have all these parts of myself work together more.
Mm-hmm. Integrating, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to fighting.
Calling all parts of you.
Yeah.
And it's true. That's why parts work is so powerful.
Yeah.
Although there is fat phobia there too. But
yes.
it's everywhere. But when you put it through your own creative lens, which is how I approach all of this different trauma work, it allows all the parts of you to exist. And you can call the parts of you back. And you can also say, well, my most creative self is leading the way today.
Yeah.
Take the reins. Or my body is leading the way today. Take the reins. I'm going to listen to you. Or, you know, my writer, whomever, like let them all coexist and let it be okay to even live in contradiction with yourself, right? Like there's so many ways that we don't allow ourselves to just exist. And we say, oh, I should think this, or I'm of two minds. Oh, I have to make it up. You don't, actually, it's okay. Right? And it's like, once we allow, something will unfold.
Yeah, agree. Oh, Amanda, you are so wise. So wise. I love talking to
you. That's very kind.
No, you are. I'm always so inspired every time we connect. I will, of course, include all your links in the show notes. But is there anything that you want to tell people about where they can find you? Stuff that you're up to?
Yeah, I mean, you could check out my work at sacredwitnesswith3s.com, on Instagram, sacredwitnesswith3s. You know, I'm doing one-on-one work with people right now. I do like trauma doula work, just any kind of support work. I've had a very interesting people just come to me with what's on their mind, and then we create a path forward. You can check out my events. I'm also on Substack, where I publish once a month, also Sacred Witness with 3 S's. Or come to one of my events. I do in-person in New York, but also virtual events and sometimes hybrid events, and they're available for all. And I think, you know, whether or not these practices, these buzzwords, decolonization, fat liberation, what are they called to you or not, I would invite you to follow your curiosity, whether it's to my event or another event. Like, if you have that creative thought, follow it. That curiosity, follow it, because it's something that's calling to you.
Yeah. Oh, agree. Yay. Oh, thank you, lovely. I'm so glad we got to talk. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for all the beautiful work you put into the world and for being such a wonderful friend from afar for, several years now. It's so beautiful. and just such beautiful work. Thank you for including me.
Thank you. Hi again. Feeling inspired? Oh, I hope so. Before you go, I invite you to pause for a moment. Take a breath and imagine. What is the project you've been dreaming of? What do you wish already existed in the world? That little spark, that idea, is exactly what the world needs from you. For 6 months, the Fat Joy Creation Lab gives you the tools, the support, and the people you need to turn your fat positive vision into reality. We start this March, and it would be such an honor to create with you. So if it feels good, take a breath, lean into your imagination, and head over to fatjoy.life/creationlab and see how your idea can become real. Ooh, let's dream, build, and create the fat futures we deserve, and let's do it together.